Greetings to the brightest audience in the... What happened to the opening music? There must be a demon in that Sony drive. Come out!
Come out. My hands on it, come out!
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Welcome, Doug McBurney.
Glad to be in the studio with you, Bob.
Doug, the head of the RNC, the Republican National Committee, was being interviewed by...
Gay Men's Quarterly.
Gay Men's Quarterly?
No, no. I'm sorry.
GQ?
Gentlemen's Quarterly.
Oh, Gentlemen's Quarterly. Mm-hmm. And they were asking him about abortion, and here's what he said. This is Michael Steele.
Yeah.
The top Republican in the country.
I remember. He's very famous these days.
Yeah. Here's what he said. He said, it's the choice issue.
Yeah.
You can choose life or you can choose abortion. So, you know, I think the power of the argument of choice boils down to stating a case for one or the other.
Okay.
Okay. That's like, are you against slavery? Well, I think it comes down to making a case for one or the other.
The reporter said,
Lisa DiPaolo.
Lisa said, are you saying you think that women have the right to choose abortion?
And how did Michael Steele answer?
Yeah. I think that's an individual choice. So the key word there is yeah.
Yeah.
He said yeah.
Yeah. I think that's an individual choice. And the Christians who have been totally, totally deceived by the Republican Party, the ones who think it's still pro-life, they're up in arms. What did he say? Abortion is an individual choice. A woman has a right. What did he say? And so he came out with the obligatory Republican correction/apology.
Yeah, that's something that Mr. Steele's getting more and more famous for.
Yeah.
His retractions of misstatements or...
Yeah, well...
Every time he says what he actually feels, he has to come out and apologize.
Yeah, well, the moral majority did that for some years. They had on their official calendar, Monday issue statement, Thursday issue apology. Monday issue statement.
Now, Steele's got putting a little bit of a different twist on it because they would come out and say something conservative, and then the next day they would apologize to everyone. Now, Steele comes out, and he says things that are either stupid or liberal, and the next day he has to come out and apologize for them.
And so, actually, he pulled a John McCain. He pulled a John McCain.
Well, one could put it that way.
Or maybe he pulled a Cindy McCain.
Yeah, Cindy McCain.
Because John McCain years ago told the San Francisco Chronicle, they said, well, you want to overturn Roe v. Wade? And he's like, no, I don't want to overturn Roe v. Wade. It'll cause too much trouble in the near term and even in the far term or even in the long term.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then Cindy McCain during the RNC, that's more recent, in 2008, she was asked, who asked her? Was it Katie Couric? Katie does all these.
One of those.
All these dirty jobs.
Yeah, who knows?
She asked Cindy McCain, and we've played the audio on this, your husband wants to overturn Roe v. Wade? And she said, no, he doesn't. He doesn't want to overturn Roe v. Wade. And
that was Katie.
And Katie Couric
did a double take. But
he told me he wants to overturn Roe v. Wade. And the candidate's own wife said, no, I don't think he does. And Katie Couric says, well, he said it's a states' rights issue. And she said, oh, yeah. Yes, that I do believe. I do believe it's a states' rights issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So then after the interview, they went to the McCain campaign to clarify.
Yes.
And the statement was, Cindy McCain believes that abortion is a woman's right. She believes Roe v. Wade is good law.
Right.
So she was lying when she said, oh, I think it's a states' rights issue.
Yes, yes.
The whole thing was a lie. They forget what they're supposed to say.
Michael Steele, in true Republican fashion, he just forgot to check his notes as to what he was supposed to say as opposed to how he really feels, how he really legislates, how he really acts.
Right.
Now, I got in the retraction, Bob.
In the retraction.
Mr. Steele said, quote, I realize there are good people in our party who disagree with me on this issue. Now, he's claiming to be pro-life.
Right.
He says there are good people
who want to kill children.
Now, I've never met a good person who wants to kill children. I didn't think good people killed babies.
Right. That is a good point. And it's a big tent issue, you know, and people of all views on whether or not we should kill Jews, they can all be Republicans.
Sure.
Did I say Jews?
I think you did say Jews.
Oh, I mean, people of all different persuasions who think you could kill blacks.
Yes.
They're welcome in the big tent of the Republican.
Certainly. And they're good people.
Oh, did I say blacks?
You said that.
Bob. Oh, no, the Republicans want to welcome homosexuals and child killers and socialists, and their leaders become homosexual child killing socialists.
That's where the Republican Party seems to have come. But don't fear out there. Don't fret if you're a Republican. By the way, if you want to call in on this or any other act of stupidity recently in the government, give us a call at 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to hear what you think. Here's what Mr. Steele said, just in case Republicans who actually are pro-life might be getting a little squeamish. He said, but the Republican Party, quote, is and will continue to be the party of life. I support our platform and its call for the Human Life Amendment. Now, is that still in their platform?
I don't remember that. We'll have to check.
The Human Life Amendment. We have to look that up. Because
the National Right to Life, their general counsel, James Bopp, was at the RNC platform meeting this year, 2008, this past election cycle, and he was advocating that they change it to accept therapeutic embryonic stem cell research.
Uh-huh.
So here's National Right to Life urging the Republican Party, their platform, to become more supportive of killing innocent children. And you think, wow, that's a switch. But not really. National Right to Life has been advocating exceptions for so long that they no longer can think in terms of right and wrong.
Yeah, I think they've lost track of the fundamental issue that the unborn child, whether he's a day old or 8 months and 28 days old, is a person.
Right.
Is a human being.
Right.
And persons have rights.
Yeah.
And the first of which that was enunciated in our Declaration of Independence is the right to life.
Yeah,
without which the other rights are a bit superfluous.
I got an angry email from a studied gentleman a few weeks ago, and he said, Bob, you're wrong when you say the right to life is the paramount right. He said the right to liberty is the paramount right.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, if you're dead, or let's say everyone in your town is dead, you can't really fight for your right to liberty.
No, it's very difficult to be at liberty.
Right. You could be imprisoned unjustly and try to escape.
Yeah.
You could fight for liberty even if you're imprisoned. But once they kill you, then your rights here on earth are pretty much history.
That's about it.
So, I mean, here are people actually making an argument from the conservative side that the right to life is not fundamental and paramount.
It's tragic that the leadership, the so-called leadership of the conservative movement, has become so confused.
So confused.
But, you know, it's the personhood movement that will give them an opportunity to come back.
Mm.
You know, because they'll have an opportunity
to
look at it.
To teach.
Yeah, we've got to teach these people.
8 states now, personhood marching across America.
Yeah, go personhood.
Well,
all right,
there's a tragic story that's been on Drudge. Was that a good story we just covered?
That was a tragic story. And if you have a comment on it, give us a call, 1-800-836-9278. What else is there, Bob?
Well, the Drudge Report.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, man. A friend of mine gets Google alerts every time there's a story about a public school teacher molesting a student.
Wow, she must have a full inbox.
She has a full inbox. Actually, it's any teacher molesting a student, and it's just that it's almost always public school teachers.
Yeah, generally.
And here's a story where, this is from this past week, where 2 junior high school teachers, both in completely separate affairs.
Okay.
Incidents.
Incidents, yeah. Well,
had sex with the same student.
Unbelievable.
The same.
Well, wait a minute. It's not unbelievable.
It's not unbelievable. The same 13-year-old student, 2 different teachers at the same school.
Completely unrelated.
Yeah. In other words, it's not a It's they weren't all together on a date. Yeah, yeah. It's one teacher at the same junior high school.
Junior high school.
Is willing to have sex with the students. And another teacher is willing to have sex with the students. They just happen to overlap on one kid.
The public schools. If you're sending your children to the public school, you are sinning.
I think, yeah.
You are sinning. You're putting your children in danger.
Yeah, I think so. God requires that we give our children a Christ-centered education. And when you take your child and you put him in an officially godless government school, and that they are officially godless.
Officially.
God is not allowed mm-hmm. in the curriculum. They tell the students that they've evolved from animals.
Yeah.
Often they tell them there's no absolute right or wrong and question authority. And they give an entirely godless worldview, and they promote homosexuality, sex outside of marriage, child killing.
Now, quickly, Bob.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from someone within the school district.
Yeah.
Here's a quote. Just in case the parents might have been feeling a little bit uneasy, this administrator said, quote, "So far, there's nothing to indicate that there are any other students involved or any other faculty employees involved." And I would say the nature of this story alone indicates
there's somebody else involved.
There could definitely be someone else involved.
Yeah, right.
Please. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And is
unbelievable.
It's just so encouraging
yeah.
that only two of the teachers were having right. sex with the same student.
Right. And we don't want to infer from that
no.
that anyone else at the school no. could possibly.
Right. The only one that would not be suspect to me
yeah.
is the janitor.
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't suspect the janitor, but the staff, the administrators,
yeah.
I mean, they get excited by giving condoms to 13-year-old boys.
Yeah.
So they could break down the barrier in the wall of protection around 13-year-old girls.
Well, the nature of this story indicates to me that every parent needs to be nervous, needs to be
yeah.
scared, maybe
yeah.
even terrified if you're sending your kids to the public schools.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones.
Okay, we're going to go first to Denver, then to Maryland. In Denver, Marcus, you're on with Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney.
Hey, I'm really enjoying you guys, man.
Thank you, sir.
Well, cool.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something, man. These Republicans, they go out and they find these Barbie dolls and G.I. Joes dipped in chocolate.
Oh,
and expect them to pull it off.
Man, I'm glad I didn't say that,
Marcus.
Yeah, I
don't think you could have said that, Marcus. Thank you.
It's just unbelievable.
Marcus, you're saying this guy is a fraud, and he's a liar, and the Republicans promote him because he's black and he's supposedly conservative. He doesn't even know what that means.
Man, it's like trying to make buckwheat out of some type of political real figure, you know, like Colin Powell or something.
All right. Well, Colin Powell was he's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual.
Well, I just think these old gimmicks, man. I mean, just propping up these people is really bad for our country.
All right. And
wait a
Marcus,
minute.
Go ahead,
Marcus,
Doug.
Did you, when you said buckwheat, were you referring to something that grows out in a field on a farm? Where exactly were you going with that?
I was, you know, like trying to make bucks. We got to call him Powell, man. It just doesn't
there
work.
It is.
I mean, please.
All right. Hey, Marcus, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, man, I just hope they get rid of this stuff.
All right. I agree. We got to get rid of the frauds.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go to Maryland, back east. You know, the 800 number works all over the country.
Yeah.
1-800-8-N-YARDS, 1-800-836-9278. American Right to Life has state contacts around the country.
Yeah.
And in Maryland, it's a woman named Casey Lindsay. Casey, you're on with Bob Enyart and Doug McBurney.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. You're calling to give us an update of what's happening in Maryland?
I am. I attended my very first Maryland March for Life, and it was really exciting. I guess there were about 1,500 people gathered there.
Wow.
At St. Mary's Church in Annapolis, which
Now, Casey, let me interrupt. The Maryland State Legislature, just recently, thanks to Delegate Don Dwyer, had introduced a personhood bill,
yes.
a Maryland personhood amendment, and that has been so exciting. It's just riveted the pro-life movement, And now there are 8 states around the country with personhood bills. We just talked to somebody this morning in Denton, Texas at Life Dynamics, and they said, yeah, 8 states. It's unbelievable what's happening. So, Casey, let me ask you, is that normal? Do you know how many they had last year at the March for Life?
Well, that's what I was going to say. They said that they had double the crowd from last year.
See what personhood does? People see the vision.
They see the vision, Doug McBurney. Casey, this is so exciting because there's finally a reason to stand up and be counted as a pro-lifer, because we have a vision. We have a goal. We have an end state.
Right.
We are going to acknowledge the personhood of the unborn child and stop killing these kids.
Amen.
And one of the things that I absolutely loved seeing at this march was that a huge number of them were young adults.
Wow.
They were young. They were high school, college age, and it was so amazing to see them there. I was pretty impressed. I was pretty surprised.
That is thrilling. And how about the speakers? How did people do?
The speakers, well, we had, to start off everything at the church, we had Archbishop of Baltimore, Reverend O'Brien, and he was a Catholic speaker there. He supported the personhood amendment in his speech, and from conception...
Hey, Casey, I got to stop you.
Okay.
That is a dramatic, historic development.
It is.
Because the Conference of Catholic Bishops nationwide has been opposing personhood. They've been opposing it fiercely in North Dakota. They opposed it in Colorado. The Archbishop here opposed personhood.
Yeah.
Right.
And they've been opposing it in Georgia. It's probably because of the Archbishop in Atlanta that personhood failed. Mm-hmm. And now, thanks to Dan Becker, Georgia Right to Life, they are back with personhood in a big way. So this is historic, and it's a thrilling development.
Right. Well, he talked about it from conception to, you know, all stages of development till when you're elderly.
Mm-hmm.
And he definitely talked about no euthanizing, and he liked that. He did talk a little bit about talked a little bit about parental consent, which, you know, parental consent was him talking about that was my very first awareness of regulating.
Of those who want to regulate child killing?
Right.
And
So I was kind of confused as to why he was there supporting personhood, and then he was talking about, you know,
then he's also
parental consent.
Right.
Uh-huh. So,
well, Casey, you're not confused. He's confused.
Well,
and what you're going to find, Casey, is that among the older set, people over the age of 40, you're going to find that they're much more confused about this issue than people in their 20s.
Right.
And that's actually good for our side.
That's good, and we're educating and teaching. So, Casey, for those in the audience who might not understand, why would it be bad to have a parental consent law about abortion?
Well, because that's not trying to prevent the abortion. That's just saying, oh, you have to notify a parent before you get one.
Right.
because you're underage.
And it's one of those laws that end with, and then you could kill the baby.
Right.
And those kind of laws, they undermine personhood. Because if we get our governing officials and our judges to uphold a law that says if you wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby, or if you tell your parents, then you get the then you could kill the baby.
Right.
Those judges begin to increasingly reject the right to life of the unborn.
That's right.
Because if those judges were upholding a law that says as long as you get permission from 3 doctors, you can kill a Jewish person, then the judges who uphold that law, they begin to have a hatred for Jews, and they begin to reject that the Jews have a right to life from God.
Right.
So you can't uphold a wicked law and come closer to the truth. It brings you further into rebellion.
Wow. Well, that's true.
Well, the Archbishop's next point was to do not judge, and he had read scripture on not judging.
I told you he was confused.
So it was pretty confusing, but
Jesus said, "Don't judge, you hypocrite." First, stop killing your own babies.
Yeah.
Then you could see clearly enough to judge your neighbor who's about to kill her child.
Right. Right.
I mean, is that a verbatim quote from Matthew 7?
That is...
That's awfully close.
I think that gets the spirit of the message.
It's awfully close.
Well, Casey, we're going to rely on folks like you to help to take the planks out of the eyes of these older people. And we'll get it done because the message of personhood is a very pure and simple message that anyone who has a real relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter how confused they are,
they should be able to see it and come around to the truth. Welcome aboard. That's what we're going to say to everyone eventually.
Right.
And so, Casey, not to people who go to hell, but to everyone else, all the pro-lifers, all those who trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation. But so, Casey, there are people who realize all this and the morality and the strategy of it, and they advocate personhood.
Right.
Then there are people who are more confused and sometimes more prideful about things they've done in the past, and they're advocating personhood and regulations.
Right.
Then
which is what was going on here.
Right. Then there are others like Jay Sekulow, National Right to Life, Priests for Life, that oppose personhood and advocate only regulations.
Yeah.
And then there are those that they oppose personhood now. They say personhood later.
Yeah.
And then there are those like John McCain, Mitt Romney, George W. Bush.
Michael Steele,
who are reject personhood forever.
Yeah.
And they think we just need to allow people to kill their kids. They're pro-choice with exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Casey, anything else?
There was, everyone went and gathered at the steps of the state house, and we only had two hecklers.
All right.
A bunch of teenagers, you know, dropping the F-bomb, and then one old man saying, Obama.com, Obama.com.
So 1,500 pro-lifers and two old guy and some teenagers.
Two witnessing opportunities. Well, we're glad you were there for them.
Thank you. Casey, anything else? Go ahead.
Yes, Bishop Jackson was the spokesperson who had prayed there, and he actually talked about how science and Christianity go hand in hand, which was awesome.
All right.
To hear in public.
Real science.
Real science.
And
right.
his wife had cancer, and she was being treated with adult stem cells.
Oh, wow. Now, this is not a Roman Catholic bishop.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because otherwise it'd be another scandal. But Bishop Jackson of Anglican or?
I'm not quite sure.
Okay, but his wife has cancer and she's being treated with adult stem cells. Wow, that's fascinating. Wow.
Yes.
All right.
And so other than that, we had a lead spokeswoman, Tracy Tiernan, from a radio station. She was a motivational speaker and she introduced delegates like Don Dwyer and Boteller. And
was Don Dwyer introduced as the sponsor of Maryland's Personhood Amendment?
No.
Oh!
He's the hero of the Personhood Amendment in Maryland.
Somebody missed out on that opportunity.
Yeah.
All right.
And they, you know, introduced other pro-life groups. There were quite a few. There were 33 pro-life groups and Living Hope for Life, Defend Life.
And they all heard that the personhood bill should be supported.
Yes.
Did anyone say that we should oppose the personhood bill?
No. No, no one there. No.
Praise
one
God.
There.
This is a major historic development just in the last 2 years.
Yeah, for the first time, when the pro-life movement and pro-life leadership and laity, just the pro-life man in the street, when they all get together, they're now hearing this message,
now,
a new message,
Casey,
a focused message.
You're right down the street from National Right to Life, really, their headquarters. You're in Maryland.
Yes.
There was National Right to Life there?
Yes, they absolutely were. They were one of the pro-life groups that was there.
One of the 33.
Yes, and I think that they were pretty big on their message. There was informed consent.
Informed consent, which means
for the women,
sign this sheet of paper and then you could kill a Jew. Sign the sheet of paper, then you could kill a black person.
No.
I was thinking that they were having the women informed consent as far as...
As far as you understand that this is a baby and it could have consequences.
Yes.
And then you can kill the baby.
Right. They had
that's how
something...
It, Casey, that's how it ends. Sign the sheet of paper, and then you could kill the baby. And they've been advocating these kinds of laws for 30 years... and it has filled the federal judiciary with Republican pro-choice judges.
And it has disheartened the pro-life movement, but we're seeing a change coming there.
We're seeing a change. Casey, we're out of time.
Okay.
Hey, thank you so much for that crucial update.
Well, nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
It's historic. May God bless you. Casey Lindsay, American Right to Life, state contact in Maryland. Now in Nebraska, Brad, welcome to Bubba Neert Live.
Hi.
Howdy.
Yeah, I'm just going through Nebraska, and for anybody who doesn't know, that's an all-day affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm between a rock and a hard spot because Democrats make me sick and Republicans turn my stomach.
Yeah, well,
I really don't have any place to turn.
Well, Brad, we could turn to God, but you know, Obama is spending like a drunk Republican, from as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Republican Party has abandoned the principles of good government, which is do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, and they regulate sex outside of marriage. They regulate homosexuality. They regulate child killing, and they're socialist.
Yeah.
Barack Obama just said this week, he said, hey, you called me a socialist? It was George Bush who started nationalizing the banks. He said, you call me a socialist? It was George Bush who introduced a billion-dollar entitlement program with prescription drugs for the elderly.
Yeah.
And he was right. You know, Brad, the Republicans are taking us boldly into socialism and child killing and homosexuality.
Isn't it sad to see? But you are absolutely right, fellas. My faith is in the Lord for our future.
Amen. Hey, Brad. Brad, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Ann Coulter thinks the battle today is between the Republicans and the Democrats. Is she right, or is the battle between good and evil?
That's between good and evil.
Amen.
It's between good and evil. And so Anne will support the Republicans, even if they're evil, because she thinks the battle is between Republicans and Democrats. As soon as you leave God out of the picture, you are part of the problem. Hmm.
That is so.
Hey, thank you so much, Brad. May God bless you.
We can turn to God, and we can turn to each other. And Brad and folks like you can turn to Bob Enyart Live to hear the truth, because this is one of the few shows that was calling George Bush a socialist when he was acting like a socialist.
When he was acting like a socialist, and when he bribed the body of Christ with his faith-based initiatives.
I remember that.
I mean, conservatives, right-wingers, are supposed to be against welfare, and Bush said, I'll solve that. I'll give him a cut.
Yeah.
And he introduces faith-based welfare programs and entitlement programs where the church gets a cut. And, of course, it turns out it was mostly left-wing Democratic churches because they've been getting government program money for decades.
But plenty of Republican church leaders were pulled into
that. So do not steal is not relevant to the Republican Party.
Not anymore.
Do not murder is not relevant. Do not commit adultery is insulting to them.
Yeah.
They get insulted if you bring that up.
Do not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Yeah.
I think they have abandoned that one as well.
Yeah, the four of the Ten Commandments, which form the foundation of a criminal justice system. Doug McBurney, thanks for joining me in studio.
I'll be back for the postmortem on the Republican Party.
Okay. All right. That'll be interesting. In Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. And at Bob Enyart Live, we could use your help to continue putting out the message of God's Word. 1-800-8-ENYART, and our website is KGOV.com.